Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with HealthLink on Air producer Steve Marks and psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill. Hey, Rich. Steve and I have been talking, and after, you know, these interviews today and looking at all the issues surrounding disasters, it strikes us we wanted your take on what happens to a person, you know, emotionally and from a mental health standpoint when a disaster like the ones in Tuscaloosa and in, you know, Haiti, for example, or even in Joplin, Missouri, when those strike. I mean, one of the things that strikes me immediately is the thing in big, bold letters is loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, loss of everything, you know, everything you've ever had in your life, including loved ones, potentially. So how do you help somebody cope with that?
Well, it is oftentimes major losses. I'd put it in a slightly different framework. You do have to deal with the grief of loss of oftentimes where there's a tremendous range of reactions from total panic and withdrawal and shutdown to calmly managing the situation. So, but I want to put it in a slightly bigger framework of change. It's a tremendous change from what we're used to managing. So one of the things that I'm so impressed about human beings with is how tremendously resilient we are. If you think of our history, we come up on natural disaster, man-made disaster, over and over again, and we triumph over them. So there are now, 5 or 6 billion of us. We manage. And in a way, that is the message that I give to people when they've been through some kind of disastrous situation in their life. I focus on, well, you know, look, you've gotten through this and you've gotten through that. And, you know, this is pretty big, but you're still there. All the skills you have to use to make your life that you've made your life already, you can use again. We just have to, you know, in a way, get your brain calmed down again. Because your brain gets all excited by and, you know, distressed by all of these huge changes and losses. We have to manage that emotional reaction and then get ourselves back to using the skills that we have to make the life that we used to have and get ourselves back to normal.
Do you think you have to change people's perspective a little bit, that maybe they're so closely involved? It sounds like you may point out to people just as a frame of reference that lots of people have gotten over or gotten past, maybe not gotten over, but gotten through similar kinds of things. You know, as you mentioned, we and Linda started this conversation with, there's been a lot of natural disasters, and over time, you know, thousands.
Yeah.
So people get through them because they have to. But it helps, I think, it sounds like it helps to give them some perspective on that. So because they're so deeply enrooted in personally.
Yeah, well, it can be, of course, very shocking. But I'd argue there's a first step, which is just to accept the reactions people have before we start to give a bigger frame. Because one of the things, like even in psychology for decades, we treated people's responses to disasters or like soldiers who were in battle and develop post-traumatic stress disorder, right?
And still do.
And of course, yes, of course. But we treated those as if it was cowardice. Mm-hmm. You know, you can think back to World War II General Patton with his guns and smacking the soldier across the face. That was the way, but that was the headset we had at that time. We didn't think that, oh, this was just part of the range of human response to tremendous
trauma,
threats to our survival.
Yeah.
And so the first step is to just normalize the responses people have and do something which you talked about there, Steve, which is to say, you know, lots of people have the same exact kind of reaction that you do. I'll give you a little example from my own life. Remember, right after 9/11, I was walking down the street like the next day, and I involuntarily flinched totally unconsciously to the sound of a jet going overhead. Mm-hmm. Just, I was like ready to take cover, you know?
Absolutely.
And I wasn't anywhere near in New York. I was here in Syracuse. Right. So we have those kinds of reactions immediately and just normalize them and empathize with the person and
so
reflect what they
feel. In some sense, you're saying, and in that sense, you're connecting them to the humanity, and
yes,
these are very
yes
predictable, understandable,
rather than think I'm crazy
acceptable
because of this. This is just the way we are as human beings.
But then, doesn't there need to be some time, getting back to this notion of loss,
mm-hmm,
given for a sense of grief or mourning,
yes,
that has to take place before you can then kind of pick yourself up by your bootstraps and go on?
Maybe. It depends on the person.
Okay.
Some people may have a very strong grief reaction immediately. In a way, you want to follow the person's lead. You know, person wants to talk about the loss of their family or their loved one or their pet. People have tremendous feelings loss of pets.
Or so personal property, even.
Personal property,
memorabilia,
a job,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
anything that helps to make us feel like who we are.
Right.
So, yeah, we might have to do that. But don't want to push people to talk about anything people don't want to talk about.
Right.
They're not ready to. I tell people, look, you talk about it at your own pace.
Yeah.
When you're ready. I'm here if you want to.
That seems most compassionate. I mean, as a way of approaching it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, is there a way to help people move on?
Yeah. To encourage folks to come back into the present. Like, one of the things that happens with post-traumatic stress disorder, for instance, is we flash back to the past.
Right.
We start to, and gently encouraging people to notice, oh, wait a minute, actually, that's not happening now. Let's see if we can get back into the present, take stock of what has happened, see what our resources are, and figure out, develop a plan to take care of what we need to take care of now.
Dealing with fear must be a big part of that, too, at that point.
Well, the fear actually comes oftentimes, in post-traumatic stress disorder, with thoughts that the past is going to happen again.
Right.
So, and one of the tasks there is to come back into the present and see, wait a minute, is there any evidence that that's going to happen right now? And if there is, let's make a plan for it,
right,
rather than get paralyzed.
So preparation can help.
Yes, preparation. In a way, I was thinking on the way over here, yeah, if you have some really negative event, make a plan for how you might deal with it again, if it's going to happen again, like Amber Smith's was talking about her parents. Her parents had a plan. It was a rudimentary plan, but go in the basement, in the corner, where you know there's the least likelihood of getting damaged, and survive.
Thank you so much for all of that wonderful advice, Dr. Rich O'Neill and Steve, for joining me today.